dreaming of what could happen in your life, your marriage, your work life, your business, your church. What could happen if we actually get a hold of this? Says that the sum is greater than the parts. When you and I connect together, something similar but much more powerful takes place. What could we accomplish? I tell you, there's no limit to what we can do if we do it together. Revival is something that is experienced together. It's something where the Holy Spirit is poured out on a church or a city, and people are experiencing it together. Revival is not an individual experience. Revival is something that connects us powerfully.
The early church wasn't stirred to revival because they wanted a spotlight. They wanted Christ. They didn't suffer persecution to chase their own dreams. They gave themselves over to something bigger than themselves. We are the body of Christ. Not me. Anytime I've tried to do it alone, I'm left shattered and feeling hopeless. I've spent time alone. I've chased him in the dark with no one beside me, no one leading and no one pushing behind me. And if that's what fight looks like, then I'll fight. But I see now, I know that that's not what revival looks like. If we want to see a crack and White House flipped, it won't be by the move of one person, but by the move of a body. If we want to see a nation saved, then we rise as a nation. So look around you. You're not alone. We're a standing army waiting to fight. And if he has done great things by the faith of a unified people, then leave your self-centeredness at the door. Because it will be by the faith of a unified people that he will do great things again.
Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Let's stand together. Are you ready to worship? Come on, be ready.
Well, come, let us worship our King. And come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. Yeah. And see what our Savior His love overcomes. He has done great things. Oh, he has done great things, yeah. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. We freed every captive and God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things.
Come on, sing hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable.
Freedom. If you want to dance tonight, that's all right. Thank you, Lord, that today, right now, there's freedom where your spirit is. There is freedom, God. I love this song. It says, we are children of the Most High God. If you know it, sing it with me.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me?
I was lost.
I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me.
His love.
Oh, his love.
Oh, you sound great. Let's sing it together.
Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free.
Yeah.
chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Come on, declare that in the name of Jesus.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I
am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. Lord, you are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Yes, I am.
Oh, I am who you say I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, for mystery and deep. And I'm a child of God.
Woo!
Yes,
there's a place for us in his house. Amen. Thank you, God. We just invite you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Father God, we've come to just glorify you, to magnify your holy name, to give you all of us right now, Jesus, declaring you are our King, our Deliverer, our Protector, and our Provider, Jesus. We acknowledge you right now in your house, where your Holy Spirit dwells, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Fullness of eternal promise, stirring in your sons and daughters, earth revealing heaven's wonders. Spoke is now unfolding, and all your children shall behold it. Dreams awaken in this moment. Spirit, come. Spirit, come and pour it out. Let your glory fill this house. hearts continue burning. For our King is soon returning. As we hold to this assurance, Spirit come, Spirit come, Spirit come, oh, Spirit.
We sing hallelujah. and Jesus Christ our King enthroned. All the praise is yours forevermore. Hallelujah, here below. All the praise is yours forevermore.
Sing that again.
Jesus Christ, our King enthroned. All the praise is yours forevermore.
Oh, yes. All the praise is yours, Lord. All the praise belongs to you.
There is none like you. None like you, the faithful one, Jesus. Sing it out. There is none like you, none like you, the faithful one, Jesus. There is none like you. None like you, the faithful one, Jesus. Oh, there is none like you, none like you, the faithful one, Jesus. Declare it, there is none like you. None like you, the faithful one, Jesus. Oh, there is none like you, none like you, the faithful one, Jesus. Oh, there is none like you.
Source. worship the Lord in this place. Oh God, you're holy, holy. We make room for your presence, God. Come on and lift up a song of worship. Oh Jesus, you are holy, holy. With your presence and let your glory fill this house, Lord. Your glory is all we want. We're hungry for your presence, we're thirsty for you, Jesus. You are all we want, Lord. Searching for our hearts.
Lord, give me a scripture and a prophetic word. Listen to this and dig your ears. 40:40. Luke, 4th chapter, verse 40. When the sun was setting, everybody say, sun is setting. Then something happened as you read. Every single person that Jesus prayed for was healed. And then it says, when it was day. So here's the word of the Lord. The day is ending. It is drawing to night. And the day that begins is the greatest outpouring of revival, anointing, and supernatural power. You are coming to the end of a day, and you're going to enter in to the new day. And if you enter into that new day, nothing ever shall be impossible. Nothing will obstruct you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing will delay my powerful anointing upon you, and your church will grow, and you will grow, and everyone around you will recognize that the new day has dawned. Leave the old system, leave the old doctrines that don't work, and recognize there is a mass healing coming to this nation, and a mass revival coming to the church. That the gloom and the doom and the prophets that are prophesying to scare you, a new day is here. Raise your hands and shout, a new day.
Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand clap tonight. Come on. Come on, let's give up a shout in this place. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, be seated. God bless you, everybody. Welcome to the Inspire Leaders Conference Friday night. Man, we've had such a wonderful, wonderful day. Hasn't this been great? How many have enjoyed today? This is great. And if you're just joining us, a real special welcome. You know, we have folks here from over 30 cities, from all over Northern and Southern California, Arizona, and Mexico. Everybody from Mexico, stand up. Where's my group from Mexico? Are you here? From Mexico. Let's welcome our Mexican brothers and sisters. Hundreds of us gathering together, new friends and old friends. And how special is it that we can worship the Lord together? And the worship team that you just saw tonight was from four campuses, a blending, because we are one coming together to worship, to make one sound from four different cities. I think we ought to give the Lord a hand clap for that. That's awesome. Yeah. So tonight is going to be really special. You're going to have a special time in the Word. And Pastor Eric Butler is going to share the Word tonight. It's going to be tremendous. And I'll introduce him in just a moment. And then after that, we have the big party in the warehouse. We've got some fun and some surprises. So don't go anywhere. And tomorrow morning, it all starts again just for about, do we start at 9:45? Is that what time? All right, 9:45. I'd come about, they say the cafe is open, right? So you don't have to stop at Starbucks. You can buy it right here and enjoy fellowship. So feel free to come early, hang out with us, and then when the day is over at about 12:30, you can hang out as well. So we've got a lot of great stuff. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have communion. We're going to have Holy Spirit time. We're going to have free time. We're going to be ordaining and laying hands and just doing Holy Spirit stuff. So tomorrow's going to be really, really special. Before we go any further, I just want to say at the end of tonight's service, we'll receive a conference offering. We want to give you a chance to express your love and sow some seeds into the conference. This is, of course, an expensive time, and the small fee that we charge would not even come anywhere near covering all the expenses. We want to bless our speakers. We want to bless them really, really good, take care of all their needs, and cover all the conference expenses. So we'll do that tonight just before the big party. But I want to honor some people, and they are some very special people in our church because they lead or host our life groups. Now, we have involved in life group leadership in our 5 locations. So far, we have 106 people leading and hosting a life group. Isn't that awesome? That's tremendous. And that's a lot of ministry, a lot of friendship, a lot of prayer, a lot of support. And if you add that onto the hundreds of volunteers that are working in children's and youth and greeting and ushering, we have an army of people. But tonight, it would just be a pleasure for us to salute everyone who is leading a life group. If you are a coach, a life group leader, if you open your home for a Gateway life group, or if you are an assistant life group leader, would you stand? Don't be shy. Just stand right where you are. If you're a life group leader on any of our campuses, please stand. I want you guys to give them a big, 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 gigantic hand. Awesome. You guys are an army. And, you know, it's been years and years. And does anybody remember Wednesday night services? We used to, years and years and years ago. It's been so long since we did that because we have shifted the ministry into the hands of these beautiful men and women. And they open their homes and they love on people. And it's so much more life-giving. Everybody gets prayed for. Everybody gets loved. The lost are being prayed for. The lost are finding Christ. And I just really appreciate the hard work of leading a life group. That's actually where my ministry got started. I was a small group leader, Kathy and I, right? That's where we got started. And God has developed us through that. So I think if you want to be growing in ministry, life group leadership is where it's at. Let the Lord use you. Let the Lord use you. You'll be ministering to people in marvelous, marvelous ways. Well, it's a joy for me to bring up our guest speaker tonight. I've known Pastor Eric Butler for about 7 or 8 years, and every time I hear this guy minister, it's prophetic. I mean, he speaks like, in fact, you've given me some prophecies, you've given our church some prophecies, and everything that this guy shares prophetically comes to pass, and I can't wait to hear Pastor Eric Smith. So would you please, excuse me, Eric Butler, sorry. I know an Eric Smith. Pastor Eric Butler, come up and join us. We welcome you. We welcome you.
Amen. Good evening. It is good to be here with you again. And I'm excited. It's funny. I get in situations sometimes when I travel. I remember I was up in California in another church many, many years ago. It was a big conference, big, huge conference. And a bunch of people were supposed to be there, and they didn't make it. And I got a call about 4 o'clock and said, we need you to fill in. So I said, God, what should I say? And he gave me a message called The Bench Warmer. It's a true story. And I came off the bench that night and did my best. But I'm excited tonight. I thank God for this atmosphere. The presence of God is here. And you love the presence of God. And, you know, when you think about what to preach sometimes, especially to leaders at a conference and all these wonderful things that we see, you go back and forth like any preacher would actually do. And you say, well, what is it, Lord? What will you say? Well, I want to tell you something tonight. I have an inkling that the devil's in trouble. That's what I'm just going to start out with tonight. Amen. And Apostle C's prophecy was right on the money, right down the line. And it's an amazing word, and it's an exciting word. You know, the Bible teaches a lot of things, but in this society that we live in, people are struggling with a lot of different things. They're struggling with self-esteem. They're struggling with negative talk. You see it on the airwaves all over the place. Negative talk, negative feelings. They're struggling with mindsets that are fearful, actions that are fearful. They're struggling with transitions. People don't like to start things new. They're struggling with the fact that they have to make changes in their lives, beginnings, middles, and endings. They're struggling with all these different things that are going on. But I'd like to say, and come into alignment with that prophetic word, that this is a new day. Now, he didn't know, because it's right here. I said, new day. All right, Jesus. We're flowing tonight. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, the story of the prophet Elijah. It says that Elijah was of the inhabitants of Gilead. And God spoke to this man, the prophet. He says to go. Now, Gilead, the word means a stony place, a rocky place. And he was of the inhabitants of Gilead. And it was a tough place where he came from. And it also means the place of the dunghill. That's what it means. And so I can't crack that joke. But anyway, let me go on. He came from a place that was full. Okay, let's just go on with the message. And so it says, as the Lord God lives, before whom I stand, he said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And so God sent him from that local place. And let me just tell you this. The word Tishbite means this. It means a people that start something, they begin things, and they'll get right up to the place of transition where you're supposed to go over into a new thing, but they become afraid and they turn around and run back. The best visual example I can give you is the classic picture of the Wizard of Oz. When Dorothy, the Tin Man, and the lion finally got to Oz, and they opened the big doors up, and they began to say, he got right to where the Oz guy was, and he was behind the curtain, and he says, who are you? And he was pumping the smoke and all this, and he said, what about you, lion? You remember that? And he got right up there, and he finally got to the moment, because they were singing the whole time, we're off to see the wonderful Wizard of Oz, and they're dancing all the way there, and they're doing this and that, you remember? And he finally gets to the place where you can tell him what you want. And he says, shucks. And he starts to run. Remember, he runs back down the hallway and jumps through the window. That's a Tishbite. And Elijah was from a place of the Tishbites, from the city of the Gileadeans, of a people of a rocky place. So he was from a people that never accomplished anything. They would get right to the brink of transition and run back. And so God says, listen, in order for me to correct this, I got to send you somewhere. I'm going to send you to Cherith. The word Cherith means the cutting away of. It means to go to the butcher block where God had to cut things away from. It means to divorce yourself from some things. So he sends him to Cherith, and there the raven feeds him. He gets the water and the bread every day, a total dependence upon God. And then after that, he says, I'm going to send you now. He said, arise and get you yourself over to Zarephath, which means this, the dawning of a new day. That's what that word means, the dawning of a new day. Look at somebody say, it's a new day. Now, after the prophet Elijah goes into heaven and he transitions into the heavenlies, the Bible says very clearly that he had his protege, Elisha, with him. So we'll pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 2. I didn't give any scriptures to the team today. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to verse 21. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with your servants 50 strong men. Let them go. They were trying to say, follow Elijah. Elijah represented the old move or the former move. And they were telling him, Elisha, you need to follow him. He must have fallen over on the other side of the hill. He said, he's not on the other side of the hill. He's gone, okay? He's transitioned. It's a new day. Things should be different. But they kept urging him, and he says this. He said, seek your master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him on some mountain or some valley. And he said, you shall not send, or don't go over there. And when he urged him till he was ashamed, he said, go ahead. And he sent 50 men, and they sought for him 3 days, but they found him not. Oh, that's good, 3 days, found him not. Okay, good. And when they came to him again, for he stayed at Jericho, he said to them, did not I tell you that you should not have gone? And the men of the city of Elijah, the men of the city said to Elisha, behold, I pray, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. He said, bring me a new cruse and put salt there. And they brought it to him. And he went forth to the spring of the water. And he cast salt in there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from here for any more death or barren land. Didn't he just prophesy that? He just prophesied that. And so when God begins to say a new thing is happening, God wants us to wake up and see a new thing is about to happen. Amen? It's a lot of leaders here. It's your conference for the weekend. But I want to encourage you tonight. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 37 that God told Ezekiel, he said, prophesy to the bones. He said, there's structure, but no life is in them. There's a lot of places in this nation, there's tremendous structure, but no life is there behind the structure. He said, sinew and flesh came upon it. You see, what I want to tell you tonight is God, watch this, God builds the outer shell first, but he puts something inside of it. So God is shaping a new framework for the body of Christ in this nation especially, and even in these cities right now, but he wants to put something fresh inside of it. You know, what do I mean by that? Well, what's your appetite real quick? It's like special cupcakes maybe your grandmother might have made. I don't know the names of these cupcakes, but they had like apple jelly inside of them. And then there's jelly donuts, and then there's Oreo cookies, and then there's a classic with the precious inside called a Reese cup. Need I keep going? But things that are there inside. Pie crust without filling is no good, okay? So God says, I'm working from the outside. I'm doing something on the outskirts. I'm shaping, I'm framing a new thing that's going to come into being. And so Elijah says to these guys in verse 20 of the 2 Kings chapter 2 of chapter, he says, bring me a new cruse. Bring me a new casing. Bring me a new shell and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. You see, when God formed man, the Bible says that God first formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He shaped him first and then he breathed into him. Would you say that with me? He shaped him first and then he breathed into him. You see, the Bible teaches very clearly tonight, for we that are leaders and we that are waiting for God to do something big, that God says, listen, I want to do something big. So in Matthew 9, verse 17, Jesus says this, neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. You see, when he was giving that analogy, what he was saying is God's about to shape new wine skins. He's about to shape new casings. He's about to raise up a whole nother generation. I was talking to some of you young people, but he's about to raise up a whole nother generation. But he has to put something in you. Now, the internal element that has to be developed inside you, first of all, it has to be developed. And this is what happens. When the winemaker wants to do what he does, there's two main processes that have to take place in the making of the wine. I don't want to get off. See, I'm preaching prophetically because I go with strands right now. But you see, when Jesus said this, and I'm going to just try to hang in here with this message. When he said this, when he was in John chapter 2, he's in the wedding of Cana. He said to them, he said, go fill the water pots with water. There were empty water pots. He said, go fill them with water and then pour out to the governor of the feast. You see, but the first thing he saw was the empty casings with nothing in them. He said, you fill them with water and you pour out. In the transformational time frame of the moment of the pouring out to the moment where it touched his lips, Jesus did something with that element. And this is called acceleration. I believe that what we're believing and we're about to see is going to happen quicker and more faster than we believe. Our heads are spinning. There's a concept I've been teaching at our church all year. Our theme is one word, catapult. I might talk about it Sunday. But it's a powerful word that means simply this, that God can take you from here today and have you over here tomorrow. He can change your life with a quick acceleration faster than you can think. I have all day to tell you, it would take me all night to tell you how quickly he's changed my life over the past 10 years. He's done that. But my point is this, Jesus speaks of acceleration in John chapter 2 when that water turns into wine. But before it turns into wine, he had to find an empty vessel. He had to find empty casings. So when he starts to talk about no man puts new wine in old bottles, he's talking about I have to shape an outer skin first. In order to do that, what happens is he crushes the grapes. Because the Bible says this very clearly in Isaiah 65, 8. It says that the new wine is found in the cluster. It's team. I'll use the theme. It's team. It's all of us together. No revivals by itself. It's everybody. Amen. I think our brother read that before the meeting started. So what takes place in the life of this? It's called fermentation. Fermentation takes place. And fermentation is this. It's a chemical change with effervescence and enzymatically controlled anaerobic breakdown of an energy-rich compound as a carbohydrate to carbon dioxide and the alcohol to an organic acid. Broadly, a controlled transformation of an organic compound. To ferment means to go through a chemical change that results in the production of the transformed element. So, what are you talking about? New wine, for leaders that are here, is going to be developed by you going through things. You have to go through things. And God is so good because he doesn't let everybody see you going through it. He pours the wine in, but then it has to stay in there, and it's hidden by the casing. So no one knows that you're frustrated, that you're discouraged, that a person is broke, that a person is struggling, that a person is doing this. No one actually knows because he covers you with the skins. I don't have time. The badger skin's on the tabernacle. But anyway, he covers you. So you go through fermentation. And why do you go? Fermentation is this. Why you go through what you go through. You go through trials. You go through brokenness. You go through rejection. You go through crushing. You go through neglect. It's the fermentation process that shakes you up inside of that wine. That's the worst part of the night. I look at faces. They say, oh, no, he's coming to kill us. No, I'm not. I'm on your side. But listen to this. There's a breakout factor eventually. Amen? There's a breakout factor eventually that takes place. And what happens is God not only leaves the fermentation process to develop properly. It's been said by those that make wine that it takes about 20 years to make a really good wine. But in the last days, because it's a new day, what used to take 20 years is going to take 2. What used to take 10 years is going to take 1. God's going to turn things around like this in the life of believers. Amen? Now, this is important for me to say tonight. This is important for me to say. And so we look at this. The other part of that is called effervescence. So while fermentation is going on, you're going through all these things. The body of Christ has been going through a whole lot in the last 25, 30 years. Whole lots of stuff. It's just fermentation. Everybody just say, it's just fermentation. God's setting the devil up for the biggest headache he's ever experienced in history. And the thing is, the devil cannot see you being developed. Because he thinks that he has you. But you're inside and you've been covered in the midst of it. So he gets no advantage over you based upon your emotions, based upon your attributes, based upon your mindset. Because he doesn't see. God says, listen, I'm going to work with you, but I'm going to just put you behind me for a second. And I'm going to develop you when no one else is looking. I'm going to develop you when no one knows who you are. I'm going to cause you to come out of nowhere. Oh, man, I see this thing. Do y'all preach in here? Y'all preach crazy in here? Okay. I don't want to go Baptist. I don't do that. I don't know how to do that. I didn't grow up in a church. It's fun to watch, though. They can get on one word and ride it forever. But anyway, let me keep going. You see, so when effervescence takes place, it means this. It means to bubble, to hiss, a foam and a gas escapes. So how does the winemaker know when the wine is ready? He knows by the effervescence. First, there's the fermentation. In the fermentation, everything of the skins of the wine and the grapes are seeding to the bottom. They're dropping down to the bottom, and everything is just sitting there. But after a while, because it's been sitting there so long, it begins to hiss and bubble up inside while it's there. And that's when they start to spin it a little bit and and it starts to escape. It means to show liveliness or exhilaration. And I believe the body of Christ in America is going to make the biggest comeback in history. I think the devil's counted out the American church. He's probably said, we've got them, and let's go to different nations. But he doesn't understand the American church has been in fermentation. Yeah. And effervescence is starting to take place. See, when you sing two songs and you can feel the presence of God, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. You see, the reason why they couldn't hold Jesus in the grave, because the grave can't hold the vine. In John 15, verse 1 and 2, Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's why you have to go through a process of fermentation, because he wants more out of you. You see, when Jesus was buried inside of the grave, they had to put him, the scripture says, they put him in a new tomb or a new shell or a new casing. But the grave could not hold him. Okay? He goes up and he goes up and Mary sees him and she says, where have they laid him? He says, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended. Because what happened in those 3 days, in Jesus' time, in those 3 days, the Bible actually gives us a picture that, first of all, he was in fermentation. In day number one, he was neglected. The scripture says in Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was stricken, smitten of God. Everything was going wrong. He was in fermentation, and they were about to throw him into that grave. But then after the second day, something started to happen. See, this is the acceleration factor, because what would have taken years and years for something to happen, it took him 3 days because the grave could not hold the vine. Stay with me. It couldn't hold the vine. So what are we dealing with? I'm telling you the fact that even if the worst situation takes place in your life, let it happen. Because what's inside of you will eventually produce an effervescence. There'll be a hissing, a sound, a scream, a release, a presence that will start to rise in the midst of it. And what began to happen, I don't believe, I mean, I know they said the angels were there at his grave, but the Bible says very clearly that what, it shows us very clearly that what had happened, the cave or the shaping or the case could not hold the wine that was being made. I want you to look at somebody. That's how we preach. We say stuff like, touch somebody. We get you in it with us, you know. And tell them, the devil can't stop you. Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, okay, let's get a little further. So what happens? When Mary sees him, he says, don't touch me. He says, for I've not yet ascended to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. What had happened was he got a new casing. He got a new shell. So she couldn't touch him. Okay? Now, what are you dealing with? I'm talking about the breakout factor. Something's about to break out. God just doesn't keep sending me to Northern California over and over and over if nothing's about to happen. I've been prophesying in Vacaville, Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose, amen. All these places in 2 months. What do you keep sending a prophet for? Because something's about to happen. Because prophets come to announce things, and we come to declare things that are about to take place. And I'm going to prophesy along with Apostle C that something big is about to happen in the Bay Area, says the Lord. Give God some praise for me. Watch out. Just a little bit more. I'm trying to make my time frame here. In Job 32, verse 15, J-O-B, Job 32, 15. Listen to this. Because, see, I don't know about you, but I've been put down. I've been knocked down. I've been counted out. I've been rejected. How many of you have had that happen to you for here and there? But there's something that keeps bringing you back. Amen. It keeps bringing you back. Job 32:15 says, they were amazed and they answered no more. They left, they stopped speaking. When I had waited, Job says, for they spoke not, but stood still and answered no more. I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show my opinion. For verse 18, for I am full of the matter. The spirit within me constrains me. Verse 19, he says, behold, my belly is as wine which has no vent. I got to let it sit there for a second. You got to let that sit on the stove a little bit. They got to catch that one. My belly is as wine, it has no vent. Inside of me, there's something big brewing inside of me, but it has no place of release yet, no place of escape. He said, it is ready to burst like new bottles. Job. He said, I will say something, though, that I may be refreshed, and I will open my lips and answer. The thing is this, very simply, that I came to tell you. Job was saying, I'm about to burst. And I'm telling you that the body of Christ, you are about to burst wide open for the glory of God. Let me hear a moment. How do you know that? How do you know that? Because greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. The great one lives in you. I'm not trying to hype you up. This is just a basic message here, but it's a truth. It's a true statement tonight. Every time the enemy tries to stop you, there's something that takes place in your life that keeps bringing you back. There's something that takes place, even when you've been in tough seasons of fermentation. The money's not there. The projects are on delay. The layoffs may happen. The mortgage is this and the children is that. And all these different things take place. And all of a sudden you're in fermentation. But you got to remember you're in fermentation because you're being made for something that's bigger than you. And so what happens is this. Once you understand that you're in fermentation for a particular reason, then effervescence starts. And effervescence is, I'm going through, but there is none like you. None like you. Faithful one, Jesus. There is none like you. So you start singing, and that stuff starts to bubble up. Amen. The effervescence starts to happen. That's what that worship is. It's the bubbling up of something that pops up inside, because what's inside of you is bigger than what's outside of you. It doesn't matter who shows up at a church service. It doesn't matter how many people are in this or that. If God has called you, he sanctioned you, he's anointed you, he's with you all the way to the end. He's never going to fail. He's never going to fail. He's never going to go away from his word. He's going to be with you till the end of the age. I don't care if a child is on drugs tonight. I don't care if somebody's sick. He's still faithful. He's still faithful. And so when that effervescence starts to happen, and that thing starts to go like this, and then God says, yes, yeah, they're almost done. Yeah, the wine is almost ready. It's almost ready. They're starting to sing back to me. Yeah, they had a rough time, but they're starting to worship me. They're still holding on to that calling. They're still holding on to that vision. They're still holding on to that dream. They're still holding on to that anointing. They won't give up. They won't cave in. They won't quit. Because the real truth of what I always learned what real worship was, worship, praise is based on what he's done. But worship is based on who he is. And when you go from that to the revelation, I don't care what's happening, I'm still going to praise you no matter what. I'm still going to worship you no matter what. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all of my strength. You're going to need that, those that are in ministry, those that are church plants, those that are in ministry for long seasons. You're going to need that revelation, because I'm about to burst. Job said that I can't hold this thing. My belly is as wine which has no vent. It's ready to burst like new bottles. He said, I have to speak so that I may be refreshed. So God is telling the church, start talking again. The enemy has silenced the body of Christ in America, and all you see is this person and that person in political arena. No names called tonight. But anyway, that's all you see. But where's the church? The church has been in fermentation. Mm-hmm. The church has been in fermentation because he takes a cluster of grapes and he crushes them. Just like he did Jesus when he was about to die. He went to Gethsemane, the place of the olive place, or the crushing of the olive. He crushes the grapes first, and he has to do that. He has to squeeze everything out of us that we don't need. Lord have mercy. And then he gets all that down, and he causes us to blend together. We might sit in some church. I learned this too. There's all kinds of grapes, you know. There's black grapes. There's purple grapes. There's red grapes. There's yellow grapes. There's green grapes. There's even white grapes. And he takes them all in his hand. He says, good. And when we all get squeezed together and we don't like to sit with each other and we don't like to visit each other's churches and we don't like this and we don't like that and we don't like this about, we don't like this the way this church sings and it's going to ask for too much money or whatever it is, and we get squeezed together, all he's looking for is the juice. And he gets you down, and then something starts to take place. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. See, inside of you should be full of the matter, the Holy Spirit, the Word. The devil cannot stop you, nor can he hold you back. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. You should be ready to burst like new wine. I'm telling you right now. You might laugh at me. That's all right. I'm just a brother in Christ. That's all I am. But sometimes when it gets good and the devil's riding hard, he's trying to come in, I just start bopping and dancing. Bam! Come on, devil. Shoot your best shot. You hit me hard yesterday, but bam, I'm not afraid of you. I'm going to make a comeback. I'm not scared, because I got a Savior. I got a God that's around me, that's in me, that's for me and working through me, that you cannot defeat. He defeated you over 2,000 years ago, and you will never win. He is the greatest of all time. He is. You understand who I'm talking about tonight? If you understand who I'm talking about, just give him a shout. I don't know if you shout here. Okay, you shout a little bit. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. sometimes when it gets so good and the enemy's riding you real hard, I just break out in a pitching stance. I just go like this. Like old Mariano Rivera used to pitch for the yard. I just go like, that's the devil, take that right back. Because we're warriors. We're warriors. You see, the reason why you have to say something is because God says he doesn't want the church to be silent. You can't keep eating the word and continue to hold it in your belly. Say something. Evangelize. In Christ, we're new creatures. The new wine is found in the church. Amen? New wine is in us. The church is supposed to turn the world upside down, give them hope where there's no hope at all. So don't go around complaining. The vine is in us, and we'll walk together. His mercy is new every morning. While we were sleeping, God prepared a blanket of mercy for you. He prepared grace for you. He has a rope of hope around you. And when you had nothing, he became everything. Give God praise. Give it up in the name of the Lord. Give it up. I believe that there's something, and I've had the privilege, just like Pastor David here and Pastor Kathy here, we have the privilege of seeing the body of Christ all around this nation, different cities, different regions. This year, I've been in the South in Orlando. There is a revival in Orlando, Florida, right now that is unbelievable. I was there in September. I couldn't believe it. People were just roaring for Jesus. I mean, services lasted for 5 hours. No preaching. And nobody's tired. Nobody's... Is there a Starbucks anywhere? Nobody's thinking that. It's just wave after wave after wave. There was a man there from Chicago who led prayer every morning. And he was, just lit the place up. 800 people of prayer. At his church, he has prayer 2 times a week. At 4 a.m., there's 2,000 people gathering for prayer in the streets in Chicago. See, you don't hear about all this. You don't hear about this. He has 20,000 people in his church. 20,000. And he's praying up a storm. It was crazy. I'm like, what happened? The believers got together because the new wine is found in the cluster. And one of the great things the enemies try to do is keep us apart. He magnifies the differences in our lives so we won't come together. But when we come together, it's not all black people, it's everybody. Because on the East Coast, we have people from the islands and Jamaica and Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic and Cuba and all those wonderful places on the East Side. And it's all crazy. And it's like, wow, I looked, there's about 2,000 people for 3 days just roaring. There's people from Elevation that come and sing. There's people from Bethel that come and sing. All kinds. The wine is mixed perfectly. I said, God, you're doing something. And you know what? Listen to me ahead of time. It's going to happen here. It's going to happen here. For here, I'm going to be done. For the Lord will say to this region tonight, I'm about to cause the wine to be mixed in a special way in this region, says the Lord. I'm going to cause all of my leaders, my key leaders, to come together and see the great thing that I'm about to do, and they will see the overall plan of what I'm about to do in this region, and it will be no longer this city versus that city or this region versus that region. There will no longer be a classing of anything. There will no longer be an elevation or a lowering of anything. There will be one body. And for I am melting down even egos, even tonight, says the Lord. I'm melting down plans that other men have made because my plan is the only plan that will stand, says the Lord. And my plan will bring the revival as it was in the days of old. Even in the northern part of this nation, in the western part, says the Lord, as it was the days of John G. Lake and others that came to this part, and I will visit Los Angeles again, says the Lord, as I did in the days of old. I will begin to move on the west coast again because I've kept even the spirit of freedom even in the west coast, and I will cause even that which has been external in freedom. Yes, it will be tempered greatly, says the Lord, but I will bring revival back to this nation, and from the oceans in the Pacific, it will sweep again out of the oceans like it did in the days of the Jesus. Jesus movement, says the Lord, and it will sweep across the nation again. And now I will bring it from the east. Like I said a long time ago, up in the Boston area, I will bring the revivals again, and I'll bring them into New York City again. Even in the days of those that preached in Rochester, New York, I will bring them again. I will bring the wells and cause them to open again, says the Lord. And there will be a collision course of the waves of God in the middle of the nation that is coming. And America will clap its hands over and over and over, says the Spirit of the Lord. And revival will spill over like new wine that's spilling out of bottles, says the Spirit of God. Give God some praise. God. Oh, can you feel it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? All you have to do is start praising him and thanking him ahead of time. Just let yourself go. Just let yourself go. You're leaders in the body of Christ. You're the people that are going to lead God's people. Carry the mantle of the Holy Spirit. Let the bubbling up of God begin to burn inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Signs and wonders shall return. For I've been fermenting you to develop character, says the Lord. And I've been refining you as I refine even my prophets in the days of old. Oh, you say, God, why do I have to go through all this? Refinement. Fine wine. Fine wine. It will be the perfect taste in the mouths of those that are starving and those that are thirsty. And they will taste of the wine of the kingdom of God and the wine of the church in this day. And they will run to the fountain where the glory of God comes, says the Lord. I'm about to burst out. You won't be able to hold me in buildings anymore. You won't be able to hold me in buildings. You won't be able to hold me, says God. I'm going to burst out. For even as I've burst out already with different sounds of music that came out of nowhere, even from Reading came a sound. And from different parts of the nation came different sounds. From the backwoods came sounds of worship. So I will break out again with the sound and the presence of the Holy Ghost. For I am the initiator, I'm the executor of the church, says the Lord. And I will begin to move in my church as it was in the days of old in the beginning. Even as it was in Acts chapter 2, I'll move again. I started it all. I gathered my men and women together. I gathered all the different grapes from out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every nation and kindred. And I gathered them together, says the Lord, to one place and had them function in one accord. For I will break the spirit of division, even a religious spirit that has tried to choke this nation, the church in this nation, the spirit of competition. I will break it and I will destroy it, for it is my church, says the Lord. For did not I say that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Did not I call you to be the church, the called out one, says the Lord? And I not only called you to be a group, but I called you to be a congress that executes the government of God in the earth. I called you to execute laws. That's why I said, whatsoever you execute and whatsoever you bind and whatsoever you loose, it shall be done. For I've given you power like a congress in this nation. And I have called you to be a spiritual congress to this nation. And I'm calling you now to pass laws in the spirit and break laws that have existed in the spirit so that my people can be free in this nation again. I call the leaders, says the Lord, oh, the congress of God, to speak up and be bold again, like the apostles in the days of old, to be fearless. And if it costs you your life, so be it. Die with joy and a smile on your face, knowing that you have done the will of God. For this is a kingdom that I'm building. It's mine, says the Lord. It's not a club. It's the kingdom. And I've called you to be the citizens of that kingdom. For men have reduced what I desire to build, but I'm once again opening your eyes. Even as I opened the servant's eyes, On my days of my servant Elisha, when he thought the enemy was coming in, it's over. My servant said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw the fire around about the mountains. Oh, yeah. For there are more that be with us than they that be with them. And they that be with them. Can you sing that song again, man? You did a great job. Because there is none like you. None like you, faithful one, Jesus. There is none like you, none like you, the faithful one, Jesus. You go ahead and sing it.
There is none like you.
Yeah.
None like you, faithful one, Jesus. There is none like you, none like you.
Yeah.
The faithful one, Jesus.
Everlasting.
Everlasting, everlasting name above all.
Yes, that's who he is.
Jesus, you are the everlasting, everlasting name above all. Jesus, you are the
Pastor David, when I was sitting next to you tonight, and this will be my final statement, it's the strangest thing, but I saw you with a robe that was made for you. And the robe had the flags of many, many nations on the robe. And they came and they put it on you. And the Lord said to tell you that you're going to be a man that reaches all kinds of people. And your churches will reach all kinds of people. In this nation and in the nations of the world. For the Lord says, I will make you an international apostle, says the Lord. And I will cause the coat of a fresh anointing to fall on you, son. And I will even begin to put power in your hands, and signs and wonders through healing miracles will begin to burn in your fingers, says the Lord, and take place. For I'm moving you even from the strategic apostle, the man that sets strategy. Yes, but you will also now function in power. But I'm going to fuse you with my anointing this night, says the Lord. For even there will come a time where you'll wake up shaking in the bed because of my spirit that will come upon you, says the Lord. For I'm bringing you back to that which you had desired when you were a little boy. When you would see others, you say, God, use me like that. But I took you a different way, for I wanted you to build my church, strategize. But I'm placing a coat of many nations upon you this night. In the spirit, I saw it. It was white. The backdrop was white, but it had all the flags of different nations, and they put it on you. You're going to be able to reach every group of people in this nation and in the world. And the Lord says your churches will represent an international flavor. Every one of them that you start up. And when you go to them, you're going to look and say, there it is. That's what God said. It's going to be all different kinds of people. There will even be churches that you will start in the urban inner city areas, even in California, says the Lord. And I'll raise up powerhouses of prayer and intercession. Ha! There's one that you will start in Los Angeles. One in Los Angeles. Los Angeles has your name on it. Hallelujah. It's one there. One there. Not the one in Long Beach. Los Angeles. And I will use you to even clean up the streets on Skid Row and bring those that are vagabonds and beggars off the streets, says the Lord, for I'm empowering you this night as an international apostle, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. What you don't know, because you weren't here, but the last, be seated, everybody. But the last thing that happened this afternoon, we had prayer. And I said, let's hold hands together and pray across all our locations that we could become a church for all people. That was our theme this afternoon. How many were in that time? Eric wasn't. And you start prophesying that we could be a church for all kinds of people. Just as soon as we prayed that, the Holy Spirit put it in his heart to say, I heard your prayer, and that's going to happen. Eric, I love you, brother. Love you, man. Thank you for that. Give him a hand. Come on, Pastor Eric Butler. Awesome. Awesome. That means a lot. That means a lot. Now, if you're going through, the first thing he said tonight was, people are going through stuff. If you're going through stuff, I want you to lift your hand so I can pray for you. If you're going through stuff, you connected with this message, you're being fermented, you're being processed, you're being pushed, and there's a grace in every trial. There's a corresponding grace to help you so you don't lose your mind going through what you're going through, because God's grace is keeping you. It's real. And God is processing you and he's helping you. And it's maybe a physical thing or a financial thing or a ministry thing. But Father, right now, I just release your grace to your people right now. I felt it all day, Lord, that there are some people just feel like they're ready to lose their mind. Such pressure. That even Jesus felt in Gethsemane when great drops of sweat like blood came from him. He was being processed. He was going through. But Lord, it says that the angels came and comforted him. They surrounded him and they encased him. Lord, I pray as Eric, just as he prophesied and as he preached, Lord, encase everyone that is going through a painful time, a struggle time, a process time, and grace them, Lord. And bring us through, Lord, with new power. Bring us through with new joy, and let us enter our new day. Lord, we praise you for it. And I'm going to prophesy, too, that you've been like in the birth canal. That's where the pressure is. And the bursting forth of new life out of that clamped, tight, constrained, confined, final push. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you the strength to enter in to a new day. Lord, we receive this grace right now. I feel like it's birthing right now in this room, right now, that a fresh joy and a fresh wind and fresh encouragement and new life is coming. And Lord, our lives are never going to be the same again. We believe this and we receive it. And if you believe that, say amen. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe something is happening in this time. We're going to worship the Lord with our giving. I don't want you to go anywhere. We've got a big party to get to in just a minute. But I was thinking, Eric, when you were preaching about a time when our church was under such pressure. Apostle C, I don't know if you'll remember this, but of course you will remember the pressure time that we were in about 15 years ago as we were trying to get into this building. And we needed a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. I think we figured out that we were $400,000 short of what it was going to take to get where we needed to be. And I mean, it was a desperate situation. We were about to be a homeless church. And the Lord spoke to me and said, give your way out of the problem. We needed $400,000. And I'm not like one of these TV evangelists. I don't do funny things with numbers. But here's what the Lord said to me. Give me a tithe of what you need. And I came to the board and I said, I feel we're supposed to take $40,000. It's not going to do us any good anyway. We need so much money. Let's take $40,000 and let's give $10,000 to this ministry and $10,000 to this ministry and $10,000 to this ministry and four tens. Do you remember that, Apostle C? We needed $400,000 and we just went nuts. And it wasn't a very business-like thing to do, but it was a Holy Spirit thing to do. Sometimes when you got some of what you need, but you don't have everything that you need to use what you have to sow and say, Lord, I need a miracle. I need something. Now, I'm not suggesting that anybody do anything that they're not comfortable doing, but here's what I like to do. I like to say tonight, if you've got something that's not going to solve your problem, why don't you sow it and believe God? Let's give. Let's worship the Lord. Let this be your act of worship. I believe you can give your way out of a problem. And here's what happened for us. We got into this building. And over the years, and right away, the Lord started blessing. And over the years, God has released time and time and time again. He has provided for us. And look at what the Lord did. We were almost homeless. And look at this building. Look at what God has done. And God has blessed us time and time again. I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to look at what's in your hand. Don't think about your need. Think about your seed. And let's sow into this. We want to bless our guest speakers. We want to pay for all the expenses of transportation. Let's just do something great for God. All right? I'm going to come back in just a moment. The ushers are going to service in just a minute. Can I make one quick announcement while you prepare your giving? If you're giving credit card, there's envelopes in front of you. We do secure giving. You can write a check and you do cash. We'll serve you in just a minute. Let me invite those of you who are here tonight that are saying, I would like to be a leader in Gateway City Church. I'd like to understand how I could get from where I am as a person into a place of leadership. I feel like I might one day be able to be a part of a church plant, maybe the Los Angeles church plant. Or I'd like to help one of our campuses in one of our cities like Modesto or Clovis or what. I feel like there could be a role for me in the future as a leader. We have developed, and I'm so excited to share this with you, our 2018 Leadership Pathways Retreat. This is an event designed. It is hosted by Pastor Kathy and myself and some members of our team. This is for anyone from any of our five cities. The Leadership Pathways Retreat is designed to help you get where you're going and help us get where we're going with raising up leaders for the vision that God has given us to reach at least 10 cities with strong apostolic prophetic congregations, parts of Gateway that will touch cities. And so this is going to take place on Saturday, December 1st. And Sunday, December 2nd, it's about 36 hours. It's going to be at Mount Hermon, a beautiful conference center up in the Santa Cruz Hills. And the information is in the lobby. You can grab one of these. The information is also on the website. I want you to think about it. If God is calling you, there are a limited number of scholarships available. And by the way, you have to apply to be a part of this event. So if you want to apply to be a part of the 2018 Leadership Pathways Retreat, pick up a brochure on your way out tonight. Grab it, pray over it, think about it. Use the online form to apply, and we will let you know. Father, thank you for this time of giving. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you together. Your presence is so rich and so real. Thank you for the word that we've heard tonight, Lord. It's lifting us, Lord. It's giving us faith, Lord, to believe for all the great things that are ahead. I'm asking you to bless the conference, the expenses, and take care. And Lord, as we give, as we sow, let something great be released, Lord, back into us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your giving. Guys, go ahead and serve the people.
What a powerful word we heard. Are you guys filled with expectation? Come on.
I give you glory for all you brought me through. And now I'm ready for whatever you want to do.
Come on, let's declare it right now.
I'm moving forward to follow after you. And now I'm ready for whatever you want to do. Your presence is an open door. You want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before.
Come on, let's stand together.
In every season, your grace has been enough. And I'm the best is yet to come.
You believe it?
The cross before me, my hope on things above. And in you, Jesus, the best is yet to come.
Coming,
sing it out. By faith, I see a miracle. By God.
I wonder if anybody can sing a praise to God right now. Lift your voice and just give a shout. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's already started. That effort, ZFM, is bubbling up. It's already started. Amen. All right. Well, hey, it's been a great day. How many have really gotten a lot out of today, man? Oh, let's just give it up to God one more time. Been an awesome day in the house of Gateway. Amen. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go across the hallway here over to the warehouse. We're going to have a good old time over there. But first, before we do that, something very special here. I need everybody to clear everything off the platform. Pastor Brian has said we need to take a family photo as evidence off in the future to say this is what God did that night at Gateway, because we can listen to the prophecies, and then we're going to be able to just take that and show that to the devil. Look out, devil. You've been bad tonight. We're going to come on. So here's what I need to do. Before we break, I'm going to count to three, and I need everybody, come up here on the platform. We're going to pack this out up here. We're going to pack the front here. We're going to take a family photo. Everybody move as forward as you can on the count of three. One, two, three, come on, everybody forward. Everybody forward. Everybody forward. Where's the photographer? Where is the photographer? Where is the photographer? Everybody up on the platform behind me. Squeeze in, squeeze in, squeeze in, squeeze in. Show some love. Team, we're a big team. Team, team, team. We're a big team. Come on. Everybody, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Pack the front up here in the front. Both sides. Okay, a few more people here, and then we'll pack the front. Pack up at the front here, all the way up in the front. Pastor David, come up. You got center space here. All right. Where's the photographer? Fill in down here in the front. Fill in here, down here. Show some love. We got some grape squeezing. All right, grape squeezing. We're almost there. Everybody set? Okay, I think we're getting close. A few more. Come on, we gotta hurry. We gotta hurry. The party's waiting. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay. Everybody, quiet, 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 quiet. The photographer, raise your hand, photographer. Raise your hand. Okay, wait, whoa, 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 listen, listen. The photographer, his name is Gary. It's his birthday today. Everybody say, happy birthday, Gary. Woo! You.